Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mr. Money TV Live on Thursday night. And this is Peter.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Nice to see you guys again. This is Frankie.
Yeah. So tonight, we are going to be talking about the topic of maximizing insurance.
Something that we seldom talk about on live channel, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I hope that this particular episode will be a little bit more practical. Something that you guys can take home and actually apply it to yourself and help to improve your finances. Right. Before we start, we actually threw up this poll and we asked the people here, is your insurance coverage sufficient? So 50% of the people say yes, and the rest say 30% of them say, yeah, I don't know, and about 20% of them say no. But the votes are actually only 10 lah. But yeah, those of you who are watching right now, right, just go ahead and vote for it so that we can know generally what is your insurance coverage like in that sense, right? Because over the years, what I do realize that every time when I talk to people about insurance, it's a topic that a lot of people know is important, but they don't...
They tend to avoid.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to talk about critical illness and all that? Maybe it's something that will happen 50, 60 years down the road. We don't need to talk about it today.
That kind of mindset. That's right. So, Frankie, one thing about this is I started off as an insurance agent, right?
So, you definitely know about
definitely
insurance.
Definitely, I know about insurance. Yeah. But for yourself as well, you are not... However, for yourself, you're not an insurance guy, right?
No,
you're an
I'm
investment
not.
Guy. Yeah. Right? You work in an investment bank.
Correct.
And how does it feel whenever like you approach this topic of insurance for yourself?
Okay, for me, insurance is definitely for protection because I know that, you know, the medical bills every year also go up, and then sometimes it goes out to the point where, you know, a lot of people cannot afford. So insurance comes in handy if, let's say, I need emergency money, so it can help to cover some of those costs. But the problem is that there's one thing about insurance that is that every 2-3 years, the insurance agent will call. When they call, right, without them even start saying anything, I know already, oh, it's the time that, you know, I need to look at my insurance, and maybe most likely he's going to ask me to top up the policy.
Yeah, and how does that make you feel? Like, I mean, you know that you need it, but like at the same time, like,
okay,
how does it make you feel actually? Right,
okay. So when the guy calls me, I know already it's the time that I need to top up already. So even before saying hello, I will start counting like money. Oh, do I have the money to do the top up or not, right? Okay. So then the next thing that comes to mind is that, okay, if he say it's going to increase, how much would it be? And how do I try to get the most value out of this top up? Those are some of the things that comes to mind.
I see. So you immediately start thinking how much you can afford, and then the you want to get down to the answer straight away on how much you need to top up.
Correct.
Yeah, but have you realized that you also don't know what is he going to say, actually? He's going to call you and tell you something else, you know?
Unlikely lah. It's not like we are friends or whatever, right?
Yeah. How many of you have this same feeling, right? That you know that insurance is important, but at the same time, you have this like weird feeling towards it, right? Regardless of whether is it because of the agent or it's just that it's a topic that you feel rather heavy about. Yeah. Please write down in the comment and let us know. Nonetheless, today, this particular episode is actually being sponsored by Prudential. Yeah. So thank you very much for being a sponsor for this episode. And the whole idea here today is actually to help educate people about insurance choices. Now, however, we do have to say that the views and opinions expressed here in this podcast are solely ours. It doesn't reflect doesn't represent the views of Prudential as a company. This whole video is for informational and educational purposes only. It doesn't constitute and is not intended as a financial or insurance advice, all right? So if you ever want to purchase an insurance or make any financial decision, please consult with a professional, speak to your wealth planner, let them help you with it. So with that, thank you very much. Let's continue on the topic. Now, I bet for all of us here, right?
Yeah.
We had a point in time in our life when we just don't quite care about insurance at all, right? There's this one like, insurance, or even we don't even believe in it. And then after that, there will be this point where you're like, okay, it is important. So was there a phase like that for yourself?
That phase is very, very short because my insurance agent is actually my high school AdMeds tuition teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. So it has come to a point that he's sort of like a family friend, right? Because after I graduated from SPM, then it's my brother's turn to go for SPM, and after that, it's my sister's turn to go for SPM. So this particular tuition teacher has been with teaching us for like good 6-7 years.
Right.
So obviously he knows ins and outs of the family and whatnot, right? So when he knew that I started work, I started to get my first call. And I said, hey, whoa, you big boy already, huh? Last time I teach you maths, now you're working already. You know what's the first thing that you should do when you come out to work? You should protect yourself. So that period of time where I explore insurance is very short, because maybe within 6 months after I go into employment, he started calling me and then telling me about insurance product, why you need it, what
so
are the products
available.
So it better
be coffee and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But that time is purely out of courtesy, because he teach us and made me have good grades and all, right? So it's partly to thank him as well.
Right.
Then that's where he started to do his speeches.
Right. So how long did it took before you buy your first policy?
Not long. Because ultimately, deep down my heart, I know that I don't have insurance policy and I need to protect myself.
Mm.
And I'm already working. I have the capability to pay for myself. I should be more responsible of
Right. But haven't you seen like your parents didn't have their own insurance? Your parents didn't buy you insurance. And wouldn't you have the mindset like, I don't really need insurance?
They actually bought me an insurance policy.
Oh, they just didn't buy it for themselves.
They also bought it for themselves.
Okay.
But it came to a point that, you know those legacy policies, they are all very small in amount, but it looked big in the 90s. Then because they didn't renew and top up, right? So it stays there for the longest time. So when I was in my 20s, right, the coverage for me, if I'm not mistaken, is about 20,000 only.
Oh, okay.
Then I thought like, why do I need 20,000, right? So right. I just surrender the policy.
Oh.
So from that point until I bought my own policy, then that was
right. There's actually a problem with that, which I'll share with you later.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, for myself, right, also at this point, I don't really believe in insurance in that sense, or more like I just don't really care, right? So when I was a kid, I still remember insurance was out of question because the family was really, really poor, right? And I recall all my dad had was a accident insurance, PA.
Oh.
And I didn't know about that.
Right.
So how did I find out was my dad met a car accident, okay, and that's how he passed away, as you recall.
Right.
At that time I was 14 years old. And after that, my mother told us this thing. Do you know that your father's insurance, PA, expired just yesterday? Today, I'm supposed to go with him to renew that insurance. At that time, no online, you have to go and meet the person.
Yeah.
So, and that morning when he was riding his bike, he met an accident, and that's how it was. So it was really tough for the family because if only he renewed his policy, our family would have at least 100,000 ringgit there. But because of that, there was no financial support. So things were really, really tough for the family. But things change. Later is when I actually didn't learn my lesson. I have to be honest, I didn't learn.
So you didn't buy insurance even after that incident?
No. Oh. Yeah, the family didn't have enough. My mother wasn't too aware.
Fair. Okay.
And later when I started working, I knew that it was important, but I kind of procrastinate and delayed. I'm not sure if you had that. Maybe you can wait for a while like that, right?
If that tuition teacher didn't call me, I think it would have dragged longer.
Right?
Put it that way.
Yeah, so what happened to me was, I was telling myself, I'm going to buy it soon. But right before I even get confirmed in my job, three months into my first career, I suddenly fell sick out of no reason.
Okay.
And I was admitted into hospital.
Okay.
And that time, I haven't even passed my probation. So I was so scared. I was so scared. But luckily, MNC, so they let you claim, right?
Right.
And it was only 10K.
Oh.
And I recall at the point, right, I was in SJMC. So I called them, I say, whether can I claim? They say, yeah, we can claim up to 10K. Then I thought, maybe stay one day, End up, we stay 3 days. By the second night, right, I was looking at my mother was looking at me, right? She say, boy, you better pray, make sure, that your bill don't pass 10K la. If not, then we have to pay. It's going to be very expensive. Wow, that moment I realized, right, I should have bought insurance. Yeah. And so only at that moment, I became like a very firm believer that this is good. And I guess that practice continued. And then after that, I became an agent. And just last year, my son had a little accident. You remember Nathan, my youngest boy? He had a big cut here.
Correct.
And he was admitted to the hospital. He had to get stitches. It cost us about like 7,000 ringgit. Yeah. Then plus the follow-ups and all. And then later my son had a hernia. So there was another surgery. I think this last year alone, we spent about like close to 20K just on medical bills for my youngest son. Yeah. Right. And I calculated, right? It is super worth it for me. Because I only paid for 2 years worth of premium, which was about 2,000 plus a year. But I already claimed close to 20K already.
True. Fair lah. Would it in that sense, but
you,
but
wish,
you wish you don't have to claim.
but you get the point, right?
So
for me, that was the story when it comes to the insurance side lah. Yeah, and that's how it made me like, okay, you know, This is definitely important to me.
Yeah.
Now, before we talk about choosing insurance, right? Do you know what are the types of insurance there are in the market? Because insurance can be such a confusing product.
It's very confusing.
Very, very confusing, right?
Super confusing. So, from what I know, right? There are three types of insurance. The life insurance, the PA, you call it PA, right? Personal accident.
Personal accident
and critical illness. Yeah, these three types. But I'm not very sure in what circumstances can you claim each, because it feels like it overlaps a bit, because life insurance sort of also like critical illness. I mean, if you're gonna critical illness, that's your life, right? Right?
Okay, you're right. It can be very confusing. Yeah. Maybe what I'll do is that I'll give you a breakdown of actually what are the types of insurance in the market.
Right.
Yeah, so that you get a better picture. So the first kind of insurance that we always talk about is definitely the most standard, car insurance. That's the first thing.
Okay,
But we are going to excuse car insurance.
Correct.
Because it's not optional. It is
mandatory. Must buy one. If you don't buy your car, cannot
that's
drive.
Right. That's right. Then there's those homeowner insurance which covers your home. And under home insurance, there's home content as well. Yeah. Then we have like other professional insurance, such as a liability, professional liability. Like, you know that there's even insurance for doctors, right? Yeah. And architects. They all have insurance. Yeah, so that if you give the wrong advice or they do a wrong procedure, someone sue them, no, they get to pay. It covers their compensation. But we're not going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about the kind of insurance that you will likely choose for yourself.
Personal insurance,
right? And the first thing that we talk about is always life insurance. Right? Life insurance, basically, it is a coverage on your life. So to put it in short, it's actually death.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the event if you pass away, then a lump sum of cash, we call it the sum assured.
Right.
Yeah, means how much are you being assured for?
Right. Yeah.
So this cash will be paid out to whoever is the beneficiary.
So it doesn't matter whether I die because I got sickness, or I die because of accident, or I just die randomly. I get that life insurance payout.
As long as I die. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
As long as I die, you get the cash.
Okay.
Yeah, and it will come in the form of cash.
Right.
Yeah. Now, definitely not like a stack of cash, but you get it like check or either bank transfer, right? Yeah. Now, under life, generally together with it, there's this another benefit that pays out called total permanent disability, which means the disability above your wrist or above the ankle or either the eye. Yeah. And it has to become in a pair. So it's two hand, two leg.
So I must break two hands, and the two hands must be above my wrist. That is only considered total what?
Permanent disability.
Total permanent disability.
And it has to be permanent. Yeah. So if you only one hand chopped off, disabled, it's not total. That's why there's a word total. Yeah. So it's called total. Okay. So sometimes I like to lighten the mood last time, right? Just so that you guys know, for the past 10 years, close to 10 years, I was actually selling insurance product and a unit trust product back then. So I'm very familiar with the products. Yeah, just that today I don't anymore. So don't come and ask me to sell you a product. I don't sell products. Yeah, but you can actually check out the link in the description of our sponsor for today's episode. Yeah, and find out more about the products that they provide. Yes. And speak to the wealth planner. Yeah. Now, so I always tell people this joke. that if let's say one hand gonna chop off, you may wanna make sure the other hand gets chopped off if you really, really want to claim for total.
But you deliberately go and chop off, I think you also cannot claim one, right?
Correct. So that's why it's a joke. Right. Yeah. Thank you for adding that part in. Now, then we lead. This leads us to the next thing. So this is the first category.
Right.
Right. The first category of coverage.
Okay.
Right? Now, the next category of coverage we always talk about is actually accident. Now, why accident usually is the first insurance that many people buy? Because remember, we go to school, also they offer. Because it's the cheapest.
Cheapest.
Yeah. Accident insurance are usually one of the cheapest insurance you can find in the market.
But people tend to have more accidents than death, what? So wouldn't that be more
very,
expensive?
Very random. And it only covers for 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the period of coverage is very short. So the calculation is, within this year, is it something is going to happen?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I get the math.
Right? Yeah. Now, so accident actually covers for a few things, right? Number one, it covers for disability, not total right now. As long as one whole arm, now you get 100% payout. You don't need to chop the other hand already. But again, you cannot chop lah. Self-intended injury, you cannot claim. Right. It has to be an accident. That's why it's called personal accident. However, personal accident goes paying out based on percentage. Does it mean, right? Is that the let's say you buy a sum assured 100,000.
Okay.
They have this table that tells you the percentage of payout based on the part of body that is disabled. Why is it so? Is that it depends on functionality.
For example,
if you lose your pinky,
not too much of a function, so payout less?
Less.
Okay.
If you lose your thumb?
More.
Correct.
Oh.
Because it's harder for you to go by your day without the thumb.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's how it works.
I see.
Yeah. So if you lose your earlobe, right, it's a few percent.
Because
earlobe is... Okay. Earlobe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, helps with some hearing, but it doesn't kill you. I mean, you'll be weird looking without an earlobe, but...
Hey, then if I go and claim plastic surgery and put it back?
Cannot. Yes. So here is where it leads to... maybe I should earlier bring in this, right?
Okay.
So what happened is that there are certain insurance right now that actually provides coverage even for certain cosmetic surgery. Okay? But it's not so much cosmetic purposes. So it's not to beautify yourself, right?
It's like in this case, I lose my earlobe, then I want to put it back, then those cannot.
Nope.
Then,
yeah. However,
then what can, yeah.
Okay. So recently, Prudential actually launched a new plan called Pru Man and Pru Lady. It's a gender-specific insurance, as the name suggests.
Yeah.
So it's specified for gender specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. This one does have a coverage for what they call a recovery benefit. Which means that, for example, if a lady has have to go through a removal of breast due to carcinoma in situ, cancer of breast, then they want to reconstruct breast, then yes, there's a recovery benefit that goes along with it. Yeah, and also there's acne coverage, right? So if let's say there's acne, you get to claim a certain percentage to treat for acne. And so when it comes to this Pru Lady, Pru Man, Pru Lady, right? It is quite interesting. So this leads us to another type of insurance that is quite interesting,
right?
Gender-specific insurance, which covers for gender-specific critical illness, such as ovarian cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, depending on the gender, right? It also covers for carcinoma in situ, which are the early signs of cancer, right? Now, what makes them different as well, right? This kind of plan is customized in such a way that they don't just pay out for bad things.
What do you mean? Pay out for good things?
So, you see, we always think about insurance. We always think that they only...
Bad things happen to you, then you claim.
But here, you can also get something when good things happen. For example, like a milestone, like getting married, landing a dream job, you know, job promotion, not landing a dream job, landing a job promotion, right? Buying a first property or first car, you know, 10 events. And on top of that, you can also claim for fertility care.
Which is
I think, pretty important today. The other day, we did a video, you know, talking to Gen Zs, right? Asking them about it. I think people get married late these days. One of our staff actually did mention that. She said, what if I want to get married late? Then, you know, there could be a chance that I may need fertility treatment. To help get pregnancy, right? So it also provides for like mental care benefit, stuff like that. And for this particular Pru Man, Pru Lady, at the end of the maturity period of your product, you also get back 110% of the total premium paid.
So, yeah. So if you pay a 100,000 premium, once it matures, they give you 110,000.
Yeah, assuming your total paid is 100,000.
Assuming you never claim the insurance lah, right? I suppose.
Assuming you never claim the whole thing lah.
Right.
Means your policy not terminated lah.
Okay.
But those are all the details.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are not here to go into details of product.
Right.
But generally, just to give you a picture of the types of insurance available in the market.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is one of the product. Nonetheless. If you guys want to find out more, again, you all can go and check out Prudential's website. I think we're going to leave a link in the comment there, right? But so now we kind of skip those basic ones a little bit to come into this because you mentioned about that.
Mm.
But moving on, so we talked about life.
Life, yes.
We talked about accident. We talked about gender-specific insurance.
Right.
Yeah? Then we talk about the next one is actually critical illness. Yeah, which kind of covered a little bit from what we mentioned just now, which is stuff like cancer, stuff like heart attack. So when the word critical basically means critical, critical, it's bad.
Right.
It's bad. Yeah, so this also is a lump sum payout.
No, critical lump sum payout, very easy to understand. The part that is hard to understand is they always come with 36 critical illness. What if I kena the 37 one then highlight already?
So that's why today's critical illness plan, right? Also very smart. They don't stop at 36 already.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they just generally cover all the critical illnesses?
No. There's a list. Oh. But I think today, I think Prudential's one, the one that I have, it's called Total Multi Crisis Care. I can't really remember the exact name. Yeah. But basically, they want cover 100 over.
100 over illnesses?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they will also update along the way because things change. Yeah, more and more different type of illness come out. So yeah, they also update it. So that's why it's also very important to review. Later we're going to talk about that part as well. But types of insurance, critical illness, here's the thing. Yeah, so when you kena, it has to be this. And why there's a specific list, right? Is because these are the more common critical illness that people kena. Yeah. So why is it not out? Because if it's something too little people can know, so it's too random. Because you must remember, every single thing added onto the list, right?
Means it gets more expensive.
Yes, it gets more expensive. So they also need to strike a balance point. Yeah, so that's how it works. If you think that your critical illness coverage not enough, right? That's when you can look for like maybe adding on a Pru Man or Pru Lady, you know? Or either if you think that, I don't just want to have this kind of basic kind of thing, I want something added on, to my existing coverage. Like for example, maybe you're a fresh grad. You know, not like our days. Our days, our parents didn't buy insurance for us. Today, a lot of the kids come out, they already got full insurance package.
Correct.
Yeah. So
sometimes haven't even born already got insurance.
Right, like my kid, right? Yeah. So many of these young guys that we know who come and intern here and like fresh grad here, most of them also already got insurance, right? So maybe for them, like they will say, hey, I already have it. I think it's quite sufficient, but I want something more, right? Something to make it more fully covered. Then you can think about things like Pru Man, Pru Lady, like that.
I have one question, right? Not sure whether I misunderstood people telling me or what, but apparently if you have two policies and once you claim one of them, right, then the other policy you cannot claim anymore.
So now this comes down to the last product which will lead to that thing. The last most common one is actually medical plan. Okay, so medical plan is the medical card. It's to reimburse or either pay your medical bills for you. They will give you a limit like 1 year 1 million, so you spend whatever you need in the hospitalization process. It is not for outpatient. So if let's say you just go and see doctor for a while, like, you know, claim company, that kind.
Cannot.
He has to be staying in the hospital because it's for serious illness. That will be called a medical card. Now, do you notice the first few ones that I talked about are all paid out in cash? And I use the word sum assured. So, products that are designed to pay out a sum assured, it will not matter how many plans you got. As long as that incident happened, you can claim.
Right.
So let's say I buy a 10 insurance policy, right? That is life, life insurance policy. Right. If I die, all 10 have to pay because I die.
Oh, okay.
And I already bought for sum assured, right? Now, medical plan is the one that you described just now.
Mm.
Because medical plan works in this way. It goes on a claim by receipt basis. So whatever you spend, only you claim.
Mm.
Okay? So if let's say I have two medical card,
mm.
I go hospital 100,000, I claim under my first medical card, I cannot go to my second hospital and say, the day I was admitted, I want to claim 100,000 because that's the thing. Mm. So they ask you for the receipt.
Mm.
Then there's already a receipt being paid for. Right. Right now the receipt paid for already. They'll say, yeah. Hey, you already paid it. Then I shouldn't pay you. That's when the olden days they'll go and fight. They'll say, I got admitted. Well, how can? Because it doesn't work that way.
All right.
Do you know why?
Don't know.
Then what will happen, right? You just need to buy two medical cards, right? Every day you go and stay in the hospital, right? You will never need to work in the rest of your life.
True. True.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So what you can end up doing is that you buy three medical cards. Every month, you stay in the hospital 3 days or 5 days or 10 days. Your lifestyle paid for.
Mm.
It's like working like that for you.
Mm.
You like go offshore work.
My work is to stay in the hospital.
correct. So it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you know the effects. It's detrimental to the whole economy of the nation itself.
Correct.
Yeah, we're an unproductive society, right? Yeah, so it doesn't work that way. So medical, you don't do it like that. You don't do it like that. Yeah.
Then one thing about medical card is, okay, because last time I was an employee. Employee means the company will give me insurance already, right? Then my tuition teacher told me that, since your company is going to cover for you, right, this is what you should do. If you ever been hospitalized or whatever, right, you claim the company first. You claim finish already, then only you start claiming your own policies. But then just now you mentioned that if you have two medical cards, you claim one already, then you cannot claim. Then how does this process work?
So the keyword is claim finish.
Claim finish.
So let's say my bill is 100,000.
Okay.
My company covers me 50,000.
Mm.
So I claim finish the 50,000 from my company. Now the remaining 50, I claim from my own insurance.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to claim finish.
Mm.
Yeah. So the idea of a medical card is to reinstate you to your previous financial position. Mm. It is not to make you richer or poorer.
Mm.
It has to be exactly where you started. That's all.
Oh, put it in that perspective, then I can see it.
You can get it, right? Yeah. In fact, there's a proper special word for it, but I can't remember what's the technical word already. Mm. Yeah, if those of you who know, you can write down in the comment below.
Today's podcast, I sound like a noob, but this is because I'm generally a noob. I don't look at my policy.
Yeah. So later we're going to talk about our policies after this.
Oh, shit.
No. So let's talk about how all this fit together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just one time, I'll give you all a sense of how it works. Generally, for a person, when you pick up an insurance, you want to pick up the first insurance is medical plan because you want to make sure that you're medically covered. If anything happens, you can go for treatment. Don't talk about dying first, right? Then you want to make sure that you're covered for critical illness and accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and life as your family. Mm. Then when you look at all this, you feel like, hey, I already got all this. Now I want something extra. I want something to make it more wholesome, right? I wanted something to be more
comprehensive
in total. Then you can look at specific insurance that are gender specific, like pro man, pro lady.
Mm.
Yeah. So then you get the full one. So that one also cover for mental health, cover for severe acne diagnosis, you know? So it's like all these added kind of things. And then or celebrating when you giving you a reward when you buy a car, you know, things like that. Yeah. Mm. So anyway, just to let you know, so right, Pro Lady itself is not really a new planner. I think because I was a Prudential agent back then, Prudential Wealth Planner, right? So Pro Lady was one of the hottest selling plan in those days. Right. Yeah, and don't quote me for it, but if I recall correctly, it was the first. It was
first in the industry.
Yeah, at that time it was the first in the industry. Also, the Pro Lady. Now they are first for men. Pro men also lah. Pro men, Pro Lady, right? Yeah.
Mm.
So fantastic product. Very easy, and people love it because of the added things that. I think it's the added things that. Mm. I mean, you talk about IVF.
Mm.
You know, talking about it. You know, like, fertility centers are doing very well now, right? I mean, when we look at stocks.
Yeah.
Right, they're doing very, very well. Yeah, that tells of the...
One treatment can be like close to 100,000.
Depending.
And some more no guarantee. When.
Yeah. And there are more and more people doing fertility treatment these days. So, yeah, if you need this kind of extra protection, you know, and you think that it's good for you, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you go for. So you go by the most basic to the comprehensive, right? Yeah, or supplementary so that it becomes comprehensive. Mm. Yeah. So let's talk about our personal self lah. How do you pick your insurance?
Oh, you asked the wrong guy.
How did you pick it? Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the interesting
okay,
part.
So my tuition teacher told me something along the line of what you have mentioned. Then because not familiar ma, right? Then I'll just go like, okay. okay. So wow, everything is very important. So what should I do? Then he will go, okay, since you are a bit lost, a bit confused, right? Let me help you to work out a plan. Then he will go to his iPad, touch. This is your plan. Then I'm like, wow, so expensive. You think this is expensive? Never mind. Touch. This one. Literally like that, bro.
So do you know what are you considering actually at the end of the day?
Number one, okay, so at the beginning of my policy, it's purely cost efficiency. Because young ma, right? What could happen to me, right? So at the younger age, it's about efficiency. It's all about claiming the tax.
Yeah.
Claiming the tax. But as I grow older, then I become more uptight about what is in my policy.
Yeah.
So the last time, remember, we had the conversation like, hey, my insurance agent called me and this time I want to really know what I have.
Yeah.
Then we had the conversation.
Yeah. I did a review with you as
correct,
well.
Correct. So I think this review, I had a better coverage, but you were telling me that I'm already late in the review. So my coverage is not as comprehensive as yours.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, luckily I realized those.
Yeah, not too late. Like, not too late. Yeah. So maybe I'll share a little bit about your coverage. What is it first?
The three things, though?
Yeah. Like how much?
How much? Today I have, okay, you see, you asked me how much or so, I'm a bit blur. I think it's about 300,000 life.
Yeah.
1 million medical.
Yes.
Unlimited claim or somewhere around.
Unlimited
there,
lifetime, 1 million.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I actually remember your policy until today.
I don't remember. The other one is what already?
Because I do it for so many years, okay. Right? I just have the habit of remembering what other people's coverage right. are.
So the last one is what? Personal accident.
Okay, so you have a...
Okay, tell me.
Your life coverage is 300,000
okay.
in the event of death.
Right.
Your family gets 300.
Yeah.
In the event of critical illness, your family get 300 as well. Either 350, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Then...
accident.
Accident is about 100. And then your...
I think it's like that.
Medical is 1 million, a little bit over, and then expenses. Your children one is also not too far away. Yeah, I think the last time when I did an adjustment for you was I gave you a suggestion. I didn't do an adjustment. It's not advice. I was just sharing with him how I do it myself because I don't hold a license to do this. Yeah. Basically, what happened is that this comes down to how you choose, right? How you pick up what you want to put inside the policy, right? Let me share you mine, right?
Mm.
Mine is in the event of death, my wife would get 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the event of a critical illness, she would get paid 1.2 million, which I plan to upgrade more actually. Mm. And my accident has about 150,000 like that, and then my medical is 1.25 lifetime unlimited. My kids are all 1.25 and then 100,000 each. My wife is probably about half a million for all her items, about slightly more than that, about 900,000 for everything. Now. The question is, how much do we pay?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So how much do you pay a month for...
A month, I don't know, because I pay
your whole
yearly.
Family, right?
So apparently, it's more worthy if you pay one lump sum. I also don't know why.
That's also not true, but I will talk about it why.
I always pay on a yearly basis. If I'm not wrong, 1 year, I pay about 6,000 bucks.
$6,000. So I actually pay about my own personal one is about 700 plus
per month.
Yeah, so all together I pay about 1,003 for my whole family.
Okay,
your 6,000 is for whole family.
For me,
for you alone,
for
right?
For me only.
Oh, okay.
6,000 for me only.
6,000 for you only. Yeah. Mine is probably about 7,000
for you only, lah.
7,000 plus.
Oh, you see, such a big difference, right?
Yes. Because I don't pay for my wife when my wife pay for her own insurance.
No. Yeah. 6,000, 300,000, and
my one is about 7,000 plus to 8,000.
Yeah, but you get one over million.
Correct.
Coverage.
Yeah. So, okay, do you realize the difference in the way how much we are paying? And I get double the amount of benefit, but I'm paying like just a little bit more, right? Yeah. So the reason for that is because I keep my policy updated every 1-2 years. Okay. Now, first we talk about what do we mean by that. You need to know what you need, ma. So by now, right, you start realizing, right, it's not about cost efficiency, but really it's about these few questions. What's the first question that you have in mind for insurance that helps your family in the event of something happen? What can happen?
What can happen? Lose of income?
You lose your income, right? Yeah. Maybe due to critical illness.
Right. Correct.
Medical, forget about it. Sure, cover it, right?
Yeah.
So if you lose your income due to critical illness, how long do you think you can sustain before you need to borrow money? Or before your wife need to start paying for you?
About 6 months, like that.
Now, so then the question is how much you want it to pay out so that it can take care of your family.
Right.
Yeah, because if let's say something happened to me, critical illness, right? For me, it's very simple. I don't want to worry about all my properties. I don't want to pay for property installment anymore. That's my number one rule. Yeah, so I'll make sure my coverage is enough to cover for all my property first. Yeah, or either half of it. Because at least I can settle half. Yep. And, you know, that's how I think. Now, so cover what I want to cover. Number two is how long do I think it takes for me to recover? So if I think that it'll take about 2 years to recover, then there'll be 2 years. Then I'll ask myself the next question. If I really have critical illness, there will be certain things that in life I would love to do that money can buy. Like for example, travel to 10 countries. Right? Do you think I still want to work for another 10 years to travel 10 countries?
Don't want really. you can't.
you may not be able to do it, right? Yeah. So might as well budget that into account.
Right.
50,000 for 10 countries travel for 1 month. That's why if I recover, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to travel, go and fulfill my life's dream first before if something happens again.
Right.
Yeah. So that is how you want to account for the lifestyle that you want to live. Right. And also as a family man, you want to ask yourself, what about my kids, right? Yeah, so the next question is always in the event of death. How much do I want to leave behind for my family? So the same thing there. I always tell my wife, if something happened to me, don't worry. The properties are all paid for by itself. On top of that, this money, you can take like how much, go and 200,000, go and party or enjoy yourself to, you know, pamper yourself or to go through that sadness. And then remaining, put it where? Like a certain investment, like 1.1 million, then let it compound and then, you know?
Yeah, do the usual stuff.
Do the usual stuff.
Correct.
Yeah, just don't go crazy with your lifestyle. I think it will sustain the whole family throughout. Yeah, and I think this is very powerful because I've went through that myself where because my dad passed away, there was no income in the family and it was difficult. So I hope that doesn't happen to my child. Yeah. That they can say that, you know, I don't have to worry about food on the table. I don't have to worry that there's no money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you already budgeted that when you bought your first insurance and then just every 1 or 2 years, you just continue to top up to make sure that coverage don't come down.
Yes. So what I do is that every few years, I will top up a little bit more. Naturally, when I first started, my lifestyle was different, right? It was just a single dude. So my death benefit was like 50K. Yeah, and then my critical illness was 150. Then, because I know that if in the event of critical illness, that's more important to me. Yeah. So, then later as I grow older, my income increase. Every time I'll add another 100K or other 50K. Yeah. So because I was still young, so when I add on, that extra premium was lower, way lower. That's why my accumulation is there, right? So my rule of thumb to myself is always less than 10% of my income spent on insurance. Yeah, that's my idea. So that's my budget.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
Okay.
It's just like investment, I should spend 20%, you know, that kind of thing. That's how I see it. Now, so as my income increased, I just keep adding on to it. That's how I end up having it. And by the time I got married, the first thing I did was to buy $500,000 in insurance.
On yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't do that.
I did that. Yeah, the first thing when I got married, I bought $500,000 in life insurance and $500,000 in critical illness. Yeah, then I just tell my wife, we are married. And
you got 500,000 ready.
In the event, if I really die tomorrow or so, don't worry. For the next few years, you are taken care of. Yeah,
very at least good, yeah, very responsible something
that,
husband.
So that was what I did. Yeah, and again, I was younger, so it was cheaper.
True.
So that's why the day when we did your measurement, what you need, right? Then by now, when you want to add, it is a bit harder, painful, already. Right? Yeah, a bit painful. Then you got to increase your income a little bit more. Yeah, so that is how it works. Yeah, but ultimately also it comes down to your financial situation. You know, yeah, if let's say you can't afford, then can't afford, right? Now, the next thing that we many people actually did ask is that is it cheaper to actually pay monthly or pay yearly?
Ah, yes.
This comes down to your plan.
Oh, okay. So this is my own justification because I don't know what's the real reason. It's because, okay, so my plan is an investment linked plan, which means to say they will take my money, they will put into unit trust as well.
Yeah.
So by putting one lump sum straight into the plan, that means I have one lump sum of money straight into the unit trust as well. So as it grows, when it pays dividend or whatnot, maybe share price grow, market good or whatnot, I get to gain more from that.
So
yes,
in that concept, you are right. Yeah. So the first thing is your premium doesn't make a difference if it is an investment linked plan. Yeah. There's no difference in the premium whether you pay yearly or monthly when it's an investment linked plan. But traditional plan, yes. Yearly, monthly got different. Okay. Now, your concept of putting it early of the year, or either doing it monthly, that comes down to dollar cost averaging. Do you prefer a dollar cost average early of the year, or do you prefer a dollar cost average on a monthly basis?
Depends on your financial situation, I think.
Correct. Yeah. Number two also depends on the fund. So this is like investing in a unit trust or investing in an ETF. Do you prefer to dollar cost on a monthly basis or yearly basis? Now, in that perspective, if you catch it at the lowest, yeah, your dividend is better. In that sense, your growth, your unit growth value is better, right? But if let's say on a monthly basis, your unit growth value is... But if let's say the market go down...
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not so good anymore. Yep.
So that is that risk management that you have to decide. In my opinion, I usually do monthly... Simply because that's my style. You know my style.
Yeah.
Even stock also, even everything also, I do monthly.
Yeah.
Dollar cost averaging is dollar cost averaging for me. That's my style. That's right. All.
Then why the agent keep asking me to do yearly? I'm like, you know, my cash flow is a bit tight. Can I do it monthly? No, I tell you, you do monthly. No good. You must do yearly like that.
I do not know why.
Right.
You better talk to him. But in my opinion, I may not know exactly what product is it.
Okay.
Because I don't know exactly what product you're holding also. Right. I just know your benefits and coverage. So speak to him and see what is the reason. Ask further question. Because if it's a unit, if it's an investment linked product, the back end product is actually unit trust.
Correct.
Which you're very familiar with.
Yeah. Correct.
If it's a traditional product, then it's a traditional product. There's a whole different story altogether. So you have to ask him what product is yours. Yeah, and how does it work? Yeah. So that's the thing.
Yep.
Now, another thing that you also talked about is that people having like every time need increase, right? There's two kind of increase. One is because you upgrade Number two is the price increase.
Price increase means your premium. Coverage, your coverage is the same, but the price went up. Inflation, yeah. Inflation.
Yes, inflation.
One is a top up.
Yes, yes. Mm. So I raised it up because someone say, Mr. Money paying 700 ringgit now, 20 years time, he'll have to pay 1,400 per month. How is this sustainable actually? Now, there's two answers to it. Yeah, two answers to it. Number one, will it be 1,400 by 20 years from now? I do not know.
Mm.
Yeah, I really do not know. Yeah, that one depends on inflation. Number two, my salary and my income also got inflation, ma. So it also goes up. Ma. Mm. And hopefully it's going to be better. So hopefully by then it's affordable.
Mm.
Now, on the other hand, if it's not affordable, by then, do I still need to prepare for my children's education 20 years from now?
Yes.
I'm assuming they already graduate. La.
Oh, no need. La.
Then no need.
Oh.
They're already working themselves.
Mm.
So can I afford to reduce my coverage?
Can.
Yeah, then I pay less.
Mm.
Yeah, make sense?
So meaning you don't mind to sacrifice a little bit of benefit in the future in order to lower down the premium because you don't need that much coverage anymore.
Yeah, if I don't have that budget anymore. La.
Right.
I mean, you got to prioritize food over what, right?
Of course. Yeah.
If let's say by then I can't afford it,
mm.
then you readjust accordingly. Mm. That's the beauty of it. Ma. No one asks you to stick with it. Ma. It's like when you're younger, you drive a Lamborghini or like you drive a sport car. And then when you're older, maybe you want to drive a Camry, right? Or maybe yeah. the other way around. Yeah. Now you're driving a Proton. And then when you're older, drive a Lamborghini to feel great about life. Mm. So things are flexible. You can always change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is the concept behind. La. Don't worry so much. Because for me, it's much more about providing the coverage that's necessary. That is necessary. Because insurance ultimately is to, how to say, is to make sure that the people that you love are taken care of, or the dreams that you want to happen that can be bought with money can happen. That's pretty much, that's it. Yeah.
Mm.
That's how to look at it, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I guess one more thing is this. What do you think are some of the common mistakes that people do when they have an insurance? Over the long years, right? Especially after I spoke to you.
Yes.
Like, taking a look at your plan. Mm. What are some of the things that they came through your mind that like, maybe next time I'm going to do this because last time I didn't do it. Yeah.
Maybe more proactive in talking to the agent. Yeah. Because I think he also know that I hopefully he's not watching. Is that I also don't enjoy talking too much with him because every time he calls is to top up, right? But yeah, I think making the effort to actually check and see whether it is up to par, I think that one is quite important. But coming to the question is that especially for older generation, right? My parents' generation, they always say insurance sure lose money one. So they even see it as a investment in that sense, you know.
Right, like, right.
Like, yeah, I know it's for protection. It is not supposed to make money. But I buy already, right? Every time I want to claim, cannot claim also. So it's like, might as well I just save more money, do more investment. Then the amount of return that I get, hopefully it is able to cover the cost that I need at the same level as though I bought the insurance.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right, right.
So that is another perception.
So what do you think about that concept?
I used to be like that also. That is the reason why it took me a long time to say I want to go and top up, right? Because, hey bro, I can do it, ma. If 1 year I can do 10-20% return, right? Then I just put that 10-20% return into my so-called insurance fund. Yeah. Potentially that could make it as well. But I think inflation is catching up far much faster than return. That is number one. And number two is that because you always have so many things to do and sometimes you make wrong mistakes in your investment, right? So you just need one mistake and maybe half the portfolio is gone. Then you need to restart again. But having insurance is insurance, lah, right? Yeah. Once you buy it, you get covered. So it is more steady in that sense. So yeah, come back to the points. Insurance is really insurance, literally. Yeah. If you want to be more gung-ho and do more fancy stuff, after you buy insurance, you can you can plan those things.
Yeah, it's like maybe I can suggest this idea to you, right?
Yeah.
Which I wanted to point out a few things. Mm. Which is number one, like for example, your parents, mm. right? Your mom doesn't have insurance.
She surrendered already.
Yeah, which I've been telling you, like, hey.
My brother bought for her already and then asked back the money already.
Yeah, because the other day I was like, I keep telling you, you also were like trying to get her to buy it, right?
Correct.
Because think about it this way, right? Yeah. How long did it take for your mother to save ½ million ringgit?
Very long.
Very long, right?
Her whole lifetime.
How long does it take for her to finish 1 million in the hospital?
Oh, very fast.
So that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's flip it around in the investment perspective, right? Yeah. Your mother, okay, before going to investment perspective, if anything happened to your mama and she already finished her 1 million, right, still need another million, who's going to pay for that 1 million?
Also.
Correct. Oh? Mm. How long does it take for you to save 1 million?
Oh, yeah. Another lifetime.
Correct. Oh? Mm. So everyone's lifetime being wasted. Mm. That's the sad thing about it. Mm. Yeah. Now, the next thing is this, right? If you think about an investment perspective, do you all do hedging in investment?
Hedging?
Yeah.
Seldom.
I mean, if you're a big fund manager.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hedge?
Hedge.
Yeah, you have to hedge, right?
Hedge.
Actually, the only reason you don't hedge is you don't have enough funds. But,
correct.
Right? Because the amount to hedge is also quite big, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if let's say you're talking about 200,000 ringgit in investment, also you're hedge already.
Mm.
You will definitely hedge. You also tell me you buy warrants sometime, right? Mm. Or you tell me I buy certain stuff, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I will not go into that. But the point is, you're willing to put in a little bit just to make sure that you either catch the return or either you don't lose so much, right? That's the same concept as insurance.
Correct.
Yeah. Because you know that if you lose one time, it will
take a long time to recover.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. So you rather just sacrifice that 5% and say, okay, this 5% I can easily earn back just so that I don't lose 70-80% of my money. Yeah.
Yep.
That is the same concept there. And the whole idea of an insurance, right, is actually to protect your money. Actually, the truth is to protect your money. Yeah.
Correct.
And so it shouldn't be seen as like, oh, I cannot claim or anything. And usually can claim. It's fallacy to say that it cannot claim. Mm. Usually cannot claim, right, is because most of the time from what I've seen, is either the thing memang or claim. Yeah, and you didn't know because either miscommunication or either you didn't read whatever it is. Or either your whole process was wrong and then you actually have to redo the filing. So there's one thing you have to do is check. But one thing I want to point out was this, right? You're right in that sense that you should have spoken to your wealth planner a lot more. Mm. And think about it this way, right? Speaking to your wealth planner is not about enjoying a conversation with him or her, but actually it's purely about
Planning your life.
You count him the part, then you excuse you, bro. Take care, man. Yeah. You don't like talk, then don't talk. Alright. But my point is that
True.
That's not the point. Yeah. To chit chat with him or her is not the point. Yeah. Although we humans actually do like that part. So I guess that's all the things that we can actually address when it comes to insurance. But nonetheless, if you have any questions, for the audience here, if you have any question, feel free to ask us.
Yep. Peter will address most of the questions because you ask me also, I don't know how to answer you.
Okay. Paul S. asks, what about nowadays insurance keep repricing the premium as the insurance plan fund pool start to experience claim? So how is the insurance plan going to be sustainable in the 20 to 30 years time? Okay. I cannot say what will happen in the 20, 30 years time, but what I can say is this, generally, it is a very well thought of product.
Mm.
Yeah, I have not seen an insurance that after 20, 30 years, they close down and say cannot claim. It doesn't happen. And by rule of law, they can't do that.
Yep, because they're regulated.
And insurance is that safe that if I can recall correctly, because this one got, I better don't simply say, but if I can recall correctly, it was, I think it's 1-to-1 asset backing. It's put it this way, it's safer than bank. Insurance regulation is tighter than bank, right?
Yeah. In fact, insurance company reinsure themselves.
Yeah.
So it's very safe in that sense.
Yeah. Insurance company also buy insurance. So it's very safe in that sense. Now, when you talk about repricing, right? Will it be repricing until unsustainable? So far, I will say that I wouldn't want to comment too much about individual brands. But what I can tell you is that generally, you will see that insurance from time to time should give you a repricing within a reasonable range. Because the truth is, the price is increasing. And when they calculated the insurance that time, it was based on the medical inflation at that time and the cost at that time. And if, let's say, medical inflation shoot up like crazy, right? Unfortunately, they just have to reprice. Yeah, that's just how it goes, right? And by then, you just have to review your policy. And like I say, depending on your age, you may want to readjust it. Yeah, maybe it's lowering down certain benefits that you don't need, right? Or either, you know, whatever method. So speak to your wealth planner. I'm sure that they are knowledgeable enough to help you to figure it out. The most important thing is that you need to know what you're being covered for and do you need those coverage? That's the most important thing. Okay. My one mistake when I was young 20 years ago, I didn't buy enough critical illness, only cover 100k. Now I want to upgrade, it's crazy expensive.
Like me, Adela.
Okay, you're not so bad. You're not so bad. You better start upgrading now though.
Yeah.
You know, every year just add a bit. Every year just add 100,000.
Yeah, now late again already. My birthday is this Sunday. Right? Late already, right?
Lady. Yeah. But it's okay. You'll forever be late. Don't wait until December.
Correct.
No way until December. Just every year.
Make it a habit.
That was my practice. Every year I add $50. Because your income should increase more than that. So you just add $50 money.
$50 can do what to your policy?
You ask your wealth planner for that.
Okay.
You ask them, I say, I want to add 50.
What can I do with
specifically,
it?
Specifically, I want to add critical illness, you say.
Right.
Or specifically, I want to add medical. Because you won't feel the pinch that much, you know.
Correct.
The pinch will come when you suddenly get married, then you say, oh, I want to add 500,000, that kind. You will feel it.
Okay.
So every year, last time I add 50, I add 100. That's what I do. I add a bit. I make it a practice. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I think, in your honest opinion, out of 100 Malaysian, how many people actually have sufficient insurance? I don't really know, but I recall the stats that I had, that I read, was 60 to 70% of Malaysians are underinsured at least. Underinsured. It means that we have quite many people having plans, but it could mean that you only have 10K, 5K, 2K. Yeah. So it's a bit meaningless. Not enough. I would say that in my life of doing this so far, like talking to people about money, I've only met a handful of people whose insurance is actually really sufficient. Most of them are pretty underinsured. Yeah, it is the kind that...
Maybe because they don't have the financial capability to pump it up until it's sufficient.
Not really.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like your case.
Right.
It's just that you don't have the practice of looking at your insurance regularly and upgrading it. Or either when you upgrade the time, you focus on the wrong things. So then therefore, you know? Like that. If you do it properly, then it's pretty much there one.
Cool.
It's just that you miss already 8 years then...
Yeah. 8 years is a lot.
Sorry. A bit sorry. Jim Wong asked this question. Breast implant and didn't inform where insurance cover. Okay, don't ask me. Go and talk to a Prudential wealth planner to understand more about Pru Man and Pru Lady, okay? Okay. Warren Buffett loves insurance company. Frankie, we'll talk about that. Why?
Because all the premiums that is paid, right? Okay, you have to think about it. Insurance policies are designed by actuarial scientists. These are mathematicians who already calculated their risk management back and forth and front and back in every way that they can. So they will make sure that while they're able to provide protections to their customers, they also protect themselves from profitability. So with that ratio of, let's say for example, I collect 100 ringgit, I use the money to do some investments. At the same time, some of my customers will do the claim. At the end of the day, I'm still able to sustain this company.
Yep.
Yeah. So that is the essence of running an insurance business. And everything is all about cash and the, what you call that, the velocity of your cash flow turning and churning in the company, right? So it will create a lot of value. And so that is one of the reasons why Warren Buffett like insurance companies so much.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So this comes on the next thing. A lot of people also, someday they'll ask me last time, right? They say, I thought insurance companies will help people. I always tell them, yeah, it's supposed to help people, but they need to make money.
They don't
need to eat, man. Yeah. If an insurance company is not profitable, every year lose money to help you, you dare to buy or not?
Correct,
them back.
Correct. Hey, in fact, insurance companies are good dividend stocks.
Damn good dividend stocks.
They pay good dividends. Yeah,
yeah. And if you see an insurance company every year give up charity, lose money, and you won't buy one because how to pay you after that?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, next thing, there's a question here. More and more question coming. Oh, and I realize 43% of the people say that they do not know what their coverage is, and 17% of the people say that they do not have enough coverage. 60%.
All right, all your statistics.
About 60% underinsured, even among here. And here is should be generally higher because most of our audience are M40 and T20, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so someone asked this, Jason here. He said, what if you don't buy investment link, use the premium difference, okay, to invest yourself, okay? This is what I always tell people. Somehow, you can consider doing that if you want to, but there are a few things. Number one, I myself use investment link product because the products in investment link are generally more innovative. Yeah, it is usually more flexible as well. I can move it around, I can upgrade it, I can change it. Most of the time, traditional product are quite rigid. Most of the time. I'm not sure about the newer products, right? But most of the time it is. And so what I want is flexibility. And that's why I choose to put it into investment link. Yeah, that's my deal.
I asked this question to my agent before, and the answer that I got is that, you know, there will be times where you forgot to pay your premium. This is when the unit trust amount can help you to hunt your policies for a while.
That's
while you
right.
come and
that's
make
right.
your payment.
That's right. Mm. I have clients who forget to make payment. And they have traditional policies, and it's bad. And they can't do anything because it's they themselves that forget to make the payment.
Once it's lapsed already, right?
It's lapsed.
Okay. Now I have one question. So let's say, for example, if my policy lapsed today, I forgot to renew it tomorrow, but I remember already. Then I go and renew back the day after. In this case, right, do they consider it a renewal of my previous policy, or they restart the whole thing and say, oh, okay, now bro, you are close to 40 years old already.
Okay.
You're high risk already. Therefore, I'm charging you extra.
I cannot answer you that
okay.
because it's product specific, number
okay.
one.
Mm.
But I can give a general idea in, let's say specifically.
Mm.
Let's say today I have a investment link plan, right? Okay, I better not simply answer that.
Okay.
Because it's product specific. Right. It will depend on the underwriter.
Okay.
I shall say it like that.
So go back to your
agent. Yeah, I shall say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Go back to your wealth planner.
Mm.
Yeah, talk to them about it. Mm. Yeah. So now, next thing. I'm 38 years old. I have a 1 million medical card. Nothing else. Is that enough? If you ask me just like that, my answer is no lah.
Maybe enough for your hospitalization costs, but nothing else.
Okay, very simple, right? If you are underemployed, generally your hospitalization period can be 6 months. After 6 months, then your company will negotiate with you. Basically means they don't pay you. Now, if you're running your own business, if your business can run without you, good. But if your business cannot run without you, then that means it's a 6 months of no income, right? So the question is, how are you going to sustain your lifestyle in the 6 months when you have no income?
Mm.
Yeah. So, you're paying for a medical bill. unless you choose to stay in the hospital and just keep eating hospital food lah. if not, it's not gonna make sense, right? Yeah. You still need to pay rent. You still need to pay electricity bill. You still need to pay phone bill. There's still a lot of things you need to pay. Those all need money. And that's why you need critical illness plan. Okay? So, if you have no kids, no nothing, you really have no dependent at all, at least have a critical illness plan that take care of your living expenses for a certain period of time. Okay? Yeah. So, I will tell you that it's not enough. And my most sincere way that I can tell you is this. Please go and see a wealth planner. Go and get yourself covered. It's not a joke. I may be laughing, but it's not a joke. It's really not a joke. And trust me, no one is going to be proud of you when by then, if something happened and then you can't pay for stuff, you need to borrow money from people. I have this thing that I always tell people last time, right? If today you're sick, it's already bad. You need to borrow money from people some more. You lose your dignity, you know. And dignity is worse. That kind of stress that you're gonna face. You want to at least maintain your dignity when you're sick. And this is real. So there was this one case, right? This guy. He said this. I can't recall, is it a friend or something like that, or a friend's friend, lah? They mentioned our stories. So this guy was really, really sick. Really, really sick. And critical illness, right? And he said that. Because he had that money from the critical illness plan, he didn't need his sister to wash his backside. He could hire a helper. Hey, think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's very real, right? Imagine one day you're sick, let's say you're older, right? You're a bit older, right? Maybe your wife is not around. And there's just this period that you really need a caretaker to care for you at home. Your daughter who's 20 years old come up to you, help you wash your backside. How would you feel as a dad?
Bad lah.
Bad, right?
Very bad.
Very, very bad, right? Yeah, I thought about it. Really, really bad. Yeah. So when you have the critical illness plan, at least you can say, screw it, I'm going to take the money. Help her. Aga, you sit down there, cook for me. Help me wash backside. I don't feel so bad, you know. Or at least I can go to daycare or something like that. Yeah, so... Yeah, like these are real stuff. Yeah. People don't like it here, but it's real. Yeah. I just realized that the benefit and monthly commitment are adjusted. How frequent does that happen? How frequent should I check and revise my plan? Yearly? My opinion is yearly. I actually until today's look at it yearly. Yeah. What does underinsured really mean?
Means you have insurance, but the insurance cannot cover enough.
Yep. So I think the last time we did a insurance workshop, I still recall.
Yeah. 2022.
Oh yeah.
December.
Yeah. Do you think we should do one more? Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us in the comments.
Yeah. Why don't you guys tell in the comment if you should do a insurance workshop? Yeah. If you guys think we should do one, just write two in the comment. Or maybe I should just put up a poll, right? Yeah. Should we do an insurance workshop? Yes, no. Start poll. Yeah, so go ahead and vote. Let us know if we should actually do an insurance workshop so we can show you guys like how do you pick your own insurance and maybe on the spot as well. Like the last time we did it... you know, take a look at some of your plans and yeah, kind of like do some case studies. Yeah, that's what we did. I think the last time we had like a few hundred people sign up.
300.
Oh no, close to 1,000. 1,000 people sign up. Correct. 1,000 people sign up.
Correct.
Yeah. Then a lot of people keep requesting for the videos or more. Maybe that should be something that we do. Nonetheless, that's all about it, I guess. But do you have any question? Or anything that you want to add on for,
No, I think today I learned a little bit more about insurance. My birthday is this Sunday.
Never mind, your wife insurance.
My wife's birthday is next week.
Both your January like us like that.
Correct. Yeah. So,
Your children. No,
Children. Children.
Just add 25 ringgit, children.
Children.
Yourself, never mind. Just add.
Just
make it a birthday resolution. Your birthday gift for yourself, 50 ringgit.
Mm.
At least 50 ringgit.
Yes, yes. Time to do that.
Yeah. So that's all about it for today. Mm. Thank you very much for joining us. And once again, we want to thank our sponsor for this particular episode, Prudential Assurance Malaysia. And for those of you who are interested in checking out their newly launched gender-specific insurance, Pruman and Prulady, go and check it out in their website or either check it out via the link that we have in the comments.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
All right. See you guys next week.